and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And you may hear some laundry running in the background.
But you know what?
We only bring you quality content here at I'll Tell You What. You
and
know?
Speaking of segues.
Speaking of quality content, you may have seen my recent post because it looked so professional.
Oh, yeah. Miranda's been working hard.
On my Photoshop skills. Graphic design. No, okay.
Is it your passion?
No. you may have noticed one of our most recent posts said we had a big announcement for you, and here's that big announcement. Drum roll. Yay. We're bringing you less content.
Oop. Yeah. All right. After some careful thought and consideration and begging and pleading on my part,
we decided that we were going to cut back the number of episodes we release per week to one episode a week. Typically, they will probably be coming out on Mondays, we're hoping. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mondays or Tuesdays, so you'll have them for your work week. Because we know that most people listen to podcasts at work. We just found that recently, neither of us were happy with our most recent episodes' quality. We enjoy the episodes that we put out, and we like to put the effort to make them the best that they can be. And recently, we've both just felt so pressured to keep up the rigorous schedule that we had set forth for ourselves back when neither of us had a job to go to all day.
And now that, you know, COVID's starting to wind down, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, it's lightening it up and everything, and everybody's kind of getting back to a normal schedule.
And Ashlyn's both making of us bank.
Are, both of us are back at work. And so it is it's a lot for us to keep up two episodes a week.
And work full time.
And work. And so we're cutting it back to one episode a week. We're going to alternate Miranda.
Yeah, so it'll still be the individual episodes. Mm-hmm. So, hey, if you're really into the paranormal more than conspiracies, or conspiracies more than the paranormal,
you'll still have
that variety, that choice.
You're still going to have a variety of episodes. Don't worry. We're still going to bring you all that good stuff. Yippee. So I will say that I this week will be my episode.
Yes.
And then next week will be Ashlyn's episode. This also gives us a chance to have more time to research our episodes so we can put even more effort into them and make them even better than they already were.
Lately, I mean, even my topics, I've been choosing topics that have less to research because of the time.
Exactly. And or something I think will be easy or something. And then most of the time when I think it's going to be easy, it ends up not being easy.
Miranda's not a great judge of
it's very upsetting.
Of topic.
The ease of topic, basically. So, there's that. There's our big announcement.
Fantastic, Miranda.
Wow. This past week has been pretty good, except for I felt extremely stressed out for absolutely no reason.
Sorry, that might have been my fault.
No.
I was stressed out beyond all comprehension.
It wasn't really your fault that I was super stressed out. I just felt stressed for pretty much no reason.
Mom says it was my fault. She also felt super stressed.
Ashlyn, you're just bringing us all down.
Apparently.
You have that much power over us.
And now I'm doing better-ish.
So, we're just trying to bring you better content, therefore a little less content. That sounds horrible, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people have to pare back.
We also have a couple things that are kind of on the horizon that we've been discussing and starting to work on.
Oh, yeah.
Some bigger projects for you.
I've gotten back to writing.
Some combo episodes maybe in the future. I'm not going to say the near future because I don't want to put too much pressure on it, but in the future. Because there's some topics that are in the paranormal realm / true crime realm that also really heavily go into the conspiracy realm. So for a few episodes coming up eventually, we will be combining our powers of
research and conversation.
Yes.
Mind melding? I don't
know.
There
you go. So we won't be lonely for once.
You say that like we're alone all the time when we live in the same house.
I'm lonely when I'm researching.
Is it dark and cold out there?
No, it's dark and cold in my corner over there. I put my desk. It's freezing in this basement right now. It got a little really warm outside, and then everyone's like, ah, let's turn on the air conditioner.
Yeah, I turned on the air conditioner for like a day, and then I turned the heat back on.
I live in an ice box. I'm so cold.
Because I can do that upstairs. It's my realm.
It's just, oh my goodness. Okay, anyway, without further ado, before that, actually, I will say...
With further ado.
If you like what you hear, please feel free to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps.
Send us little messages saying how you like us.
Yeah.
Because we need validation.
Share us with your friends. Ashlyn's coworker is claiming that we're going to get famous through his...
word of mouth.
His word of mouth. So if you came from some guy telling you to...
it was probably Tony.
Okay. We could say his first name, hopefully. If you came because Tony sent you, welcome. We appreciate it.
Can we just make that a thing? We're like, if Tony sent you, tell him hi.
If Tony sent you, tell him hi. I don't know Tony. I heard of Tony for the first time today.
Oh, really?
Well, this week, I think. Anywho, but if you like what you hear, go ahead and rate, review, and all that good stuff to your friends and all that. That's great.
I thought we were going into our ending segment right there. And I was like, yeah, tell your dad. Wait a minute.
So, Ashlyn, I'll tell you what.
What do you tell me?
The Dancing Plague of 1518.
Ooh, I think I remembered this one.
I got my iPad back this week. I'm very excited.
I just realized that when you started mentioning it.
To bring you. Oh, God, I have to sign in.
Oh, no.
The Dancing Plague of 1518.
Woo.
On July 14th.
Sounds like a good time.
Let me say, before I really get into it, this is going to be a bit short. This is a much shorter little story to go with our big announcement. We're recording this really fast. We are both very tired this week.
Yeah.
So, this is just a really quick, fun little story for you. Also, it couldn't really be its own, like, full-length episode. It's right. A pretty short tale, but it's fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've heard of this before.
It's fun.
But right. I don't know all the bits and details that
I actually
sprinkle
found
on for us.
For once, honestly, a lot of the times when we do these episodes, I'll find the same exact facts on every single website I visit. This one, I actually found different facts on a lot of the different websites I visited. So it was really nice because I got to fill in the gaps as I did my research, which was refreshing to be.
That's usually
how
I do my research.
Exactly. So the Dancing Plague of 1518.
I was like, that's awfully late in the.
On July 14th, 1518, Frau Trofea, a young woman in the city of Strasbourg, which would be in modern-day France, actually. I thought it would be in Germany because her name was Frau. Well, also, they refer to as Frau, like young lady. But I don't know.
Boundaries change over.
Apparently, it's modern-day France. Well, Frau Trofea stepped into the street and began to dance. She danced and she danced and she danced, ignoring her husband's pleas to cease. She danced on. She danced until the day turned into night, eventually falling unconscious. However, the next day, the minute she woke up, she was back on her swollen feet dancing once again. She danced for 6 days straight, solo.
Jeez.
She did not stop. She did not rest for six straight days.
Jeez.
Within a week, 34 people had joined Frau Trofea, mainly women. Before long, about three dozen people had joined her in the streets, dancing and flailing about. And no one could stop them. Eventually, frightened local authorities intervened and sent Frau Trofea in a wagon 30 miles away to Saverne, where she might be cured at the shrine of Vitus, the saint who it was believed to have cursed her.
Bum.
I don't know. Uh-huh. However, by August of 1518, the dancing epidemic had claimed as many as 400 victims.
Jeez. So when you say victims, do you mean like 400 people have been dancing?
Yeah, 400 people are dancing in the streets. It's absolutely bonkers. Physicians at the time had no idea what was going on.
Well,
the only explanation they could figure out for the phenomenon was hot blood. And they suggested the afflicted simply gyrate the fever away. They're just like, just let them dance it out. They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
When in doubt, dance it out.
When in doubt, dance it out.
I shouldn't laugh because, yes, these are actual people's lives, but hearing about medicine like having...
In 15, 18.
Yeah, and like having spent a considerable amount of time in school, you know, talking about it because whenever you study Shakespeare, it always comes up.
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
Apparently, they thought of it as like, you know, how they used to like bleed the wound.
Yeah.
They thought of it that way. And they're like, oh, yeah. Well, since they're dancing, you just have to let them dance. Well, they have to dance more to get it out, basically. So the only thing the local officials could think to do was fight fire with fire.
What? How?
Well, a stage was constructed.
No.
Professional dancers were brought in. And the town even hired a band to provide background music.
Oh, good. At least they're not awkwardly shuffling to silence anymore.
How awkward was that? Everybody's just like, dance, 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 dance. But there's no music. It's just silent.
Yeah, I'm imagining like one of those scenes of like, I think I've seen it in a film or something where it's like a silent disco and everyone's like wearing headphones. Yeah. So
but
like,
nobody's wearing headphones. It just looks stupid.
Yeah, but like all you can hear is like the shuffling of feet.
That's awkward.
In the film, I love that.
But it wasn't before long that the marathon started to take its toll.
Yeah.
Many of the dancers collapsed from sheer exhaustion. Mm-hmm. At the height of it all, supposedly 15 people a day were dying.
Yeah.
From things like strokes, heart attacks, and pure exhaustion.
See, do you know if this was before or after, like, Brothers Grimm?
I don't know.
It was probably 15, before, 18. Would be my guess. I'd have to double check the dates.
It's probably around the same time, honestly.
But the thing is so in the original Snow White, the punishment for the...
I know she had to, somebody had to dance in like...
Yeah, the punishment for the Evil Queen was like hot iron shoes that she had to dance in until she like fell over dead.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if this is where they got that.
I may have it. Yeah, that may come into... The reasoning for that may come in later when I explain some stuff.
I'm just wondering if they got it from this.
So seeing that their plans had backfired... Their plans to cure everybody had backfired. The council decided to ban all dancing in public spaces until September. The community that they lived in at the time had a lot of like group dancing was like a big part of the community at the time.
Group
so it was really hard for everybody. And Sebastian Brandt.
I understand.
A Strasbourg chancellor and author, Strasbourg chancellor and author detailed the exception to the ban. He said, quote, if honorable persons wish to dance at weddings or celebrations of first mass in their houses, they may do so using stringed instruments, but they are on their conscience not to use tambourines and drums. So basically, they thought that stringed instruments would encourage dancing less than rhythmic ones like drums.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about like all the Regency like period films and everything where
there was no drums and
it's just string instruments and like all of the some of the Pride and Prejudice movies and everything where that's Richardson. Happening.
I'll say Bridgerton, so we get some like
I haven't seen Bridgerton, and based off of what I've seen, I'm like I understand why people would enjoy it, but I'm really not going to.
It's really just like two episodes that are like, oh my god. In my opinion, it came out of left field. I was really enjoying it. I was like, oh, so innocent, so nice, and then all of a sudden, I was like, what? What is that? What? This is on television? Well, it wasn't on television. It's on Netflix.
It's Netflix.
But still,
they do what they want.
But
yeah.
Still, I was like, is this HBO? Jeez.
Are we in Game of Thrones right now?
Right? I was like, I was embarrassed because I was just watching it like in the background and Josh walks over. And I was like, oh my gosh, I swear to goodness.
I'm sorry.
It was really
Maybe
awkward.
I'm just a prude, but like.
I'm a prude. That was a lot. I'm going to be honest. The rest of it's quite enjoyable. There's just a few two episodes and I was like, that is too much.
But it's like Ant-Man. I'm not sure I can get around it.
We won't explain that Ant-Man joke. I just don't want to explain the Ant-Man
That's
joke.
Fair. That's fair. We're not going to.
To the viewer discretion. Okay. So in addition, mm-hmm. the council ordered those afflicted to be bundled into wagons and then taken the three-day ride to the shrine of St. Vitus, where Frau Trofea had been cured. Priests. Okay, this is what they did. Priests yes. placed the choriomantics. These are words that I found online.
That's choriomantics. Fantastic.
Who were presumably still thrashing about like landed fish. That's what one of the articles called them. And I liked
it. The funny thing is I already went there when you said fish, thrashing yeah. about.
Thrashing about like landed fish underneath a wooden carving of Vitus.
I'm imagining the or whole Vitus. Finding Nemo thing where it's like swim down.
Together. Swim together. So they put small crosses in their hands and red shoes on their feet. I don't know if red shoes meant like hot shoes. Because now that you bring Probably. It up, maybe it was hot shoes. I don't know. They just said red shoes. So maybe it was like red hot shoes. I don't know. What or you, bring, or you bring that up could be yeah. interesting. They sprinkled... They went on to sprinkle holy water.
Of course.
And painted crosses.
Because it's the demons.
Painted crosses of concentrated oil 9. I don't know what oil number 9 is, but...
We are not Catholic. I apologize.
On the soles and tops of the shoes.
Hmm.
These rituals were carried out in an atmosphere thick with incense, and Latin incantations were recited.
Oh, fun.
Sounds very...
Sounds very Catholic.
Culty. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Catholic.
Miranda, what? You can't say that!
Anywho, it just sounds very like that is a
ritualistic.
Ritual. Yeah. That is a ritual if well, I see, ever heard of one.
Things with Catholicism are typically more ritualistic yeah. than they are with than with Protestant yeah, branches. True. So
within a week or so, the stream of suffering dancers had diminished into a trickle. In the end, the dancing plague had lasted over a month.
Jeez.
The final death toll is actually unknown. However, it is thought to be in the hundreds.
My gosh.
Well, because if you think about it, 15 people a day were dying in a month. That's got to be at least 100
The first dance marathon. Who won?
Frau Trofea. It didn't say she died. It just said she was cured.
If she lived past this, she might be the winner.
So what caused the dancing plague? So the Strasbourg dancing plague may sound like the stuff of legend. However, it is not the only dancing plague to have ever been reported. It's the most famous, but not the only one. Similar manias took place in Switzerland, Germany, and Holland, although fewer as large or as deadly as the Dancing Plague of 1518. So
weird.
Here are some theories. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say about the, that's what I was going to bring up when you brought up the Brothers Grimm thing, maybe taking inspiration from this.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't even just from this. It was probably from all of the Dancing Plagues that happened within that era, because for some reason, Dancing Plagues were a thing. So here are some theories. Some believe the dancing could have been brought on by food poisoning.
Maybe.
Which could have been caused by the toxic and psychoactive chemical products of ergo fungi. Or ergot.
Yeah.
I think it's ergo.
It probably is ergo if it's but French, but I don't know.
But
it has a T on the
end, but I want to say ergo. Ergo fungi. Which grows commonly on grains such as rye, used for baking bread.
Ooh.
So ergotamine, I can't talk, ergotamine, is structurally related to the drug lysergic acid diethylamine.
Do you have a street name for that?
Yes, I can't say these words. They're too.
It's okay.
They're too medical.
I'll probably know what you mean if you say
the substance from which LSD-25 was originally synthesized. Jesus. So basically, they thought they were on LSD from food poisoning.
No, and that makes sense. I mean,
so the same fungus has also been implicated in other major historical anomalies, including the Salem witch trials.
I was actually going to bring that up.
I knew you were. That's why I had to get that out. So yeah, the same thing that they thought. Which I probably will eventually talk about.
You should definitely talk about it. It is incredibly fascinating.
So the same thing that brought on, they think could have possibly brought on some like weird hysterical fits kind of thing could have been this basically LSD in its purest form.
My original thought was, you know, something like this, like the Salem witch trial. So
however, an argument against that. It was made by John Waller in the Lancet. He argues that, quote, this theory does not seem tenable since it is unlikely that those poisoned by ergo could have danced for days at a time, nor would so many people have reacted to its psychotropic chemicals in the same way. The ergotism theory also fails to explain why virtually every outbreak occurred somewhere along the Rhine and Moselle rivers, areas linked by water, but with quite different climates and crops. So the argument is, everywhere that there was a dancing plague, mm-hmm. basically, none of them had enough of similar climates, basically, or similar everything, like a perfect storm of everything mm-hmm. in every single place to have done that, basically, is what he's insinuating. I'm saying, I mean, there still is a possibility, but...
Do we know his credentials?
I don't know.
What does he do?
He was quoted by someone.
Sorry.
The Lancet, I think, is like an article.
Yeah, the Lancet is also the place that... Yeah, because I remember hearing about it when we did Wakefield. They're the ones who originally published the Wakefield article. So. I'm kidding. They don't lose all their credibility. They've published other things that... Ooh. And they eventually retracted it. So that doesn't really ruin all of their credibility, but...
Wow.
I mean...
I didn't even make that connection. Sorry. So I probably should have looked up who John Waller was. But that's basically the end of that theory. So our second theory, I can't talk.
I'm not saying we should completely discredit what
he's saying. You already said it. Shush. Our second theory is that the month-long dance-a-thon could have been brought on by stress-induced mass hysteria. It's basically the two things they blame everything on, like every group thing on, mass hysteria or drugs, some kind of chemical drug thing. So John Waller, once again, he came back for this one, speculated that the dancing was stress-induced psychosis on a mass level.
What's stress? What's the stress here?
Okay, seeing as the region where the people danced was riddled with starvation and disease.
Okay, there we go.
And the inhabitants tended to be superstitious. Seven other cases of dancing plague were reported in the same region during the medieval era. So it's like a poor area. And apparently there had been other cases during the medieval era.
Why dancing?
I don't know. Well, I mean, they conceived it as dancing, but from every description of it, it was like thrashing about and flailing your arms.
I'm just imagining the time I've been in hysterics and everything.
Twisting
and I'm
about.
Like...
It was like thrashing, twisting, and flailing. And so people call it dancing.
Okay, that makes more sense. But still, I'm not sure I've done that in my hysterics. So, I just have a breakdown.
So this psychogenic illness could have been created by, could have created a chora, from the Greek chorea, meaning to dance. So sorry if I'm butchering all of these words. I swear to God, I tried to pronounce them before this, too.
And we talked a little bit about this with the Dybbuk box, but, you know, the power of, like,
suggestion
basically. Yeah. Like, do people experience these things just because they've seen it before?
So,
which could lead a bunch of people to start
basically,
dancing.
Basically, which is a situation comprising of random and intricate unintentional movements that flit from body part to body part.
Oh, like tics.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, basically... From what I gathered, it's causing a bunch of psychosomatic tics in everybody.
That actually makes a lot of sense, especially with the stress thing. Okay.
So diverse choreas, also known as St. Vitus's dance or St. John's dance, were labeled in the Middle Ages, referring to the independent epidemics of dancing mania that happened in Central Europe, partially at the time of the plague. Like the actual plague. So they basically thought it could have been psychosomatic ticking, basically. Interesting. On a mass scale.
Well, the funny thing about tics is, like, it's they're not as psychosomatic as they are like a body's response to.
Yeah, but I want to say psychosomatic in this case because it's on a mass scale kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so like,
and there's no doubt some people who are probably just like super stressed out and like got that suggestion. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get it.
Exactly. So our last theory is probably my favorite theory far. Please.
I'm excited now.
So the dance mania.
Yes.
If not caused by fungus or mass hysteria, could have possibly been caused by none other than good old feminism. Want to know why? You want me to tell you
why? Oh, please tell me why.
So, basically, the theory is that Frau Tofrea realized that dancing and being silly like that rather bothered her husband. So she concocted the whole craze to embarrass him. Because he was like, please stop. And she's like, no. So basically, yeah, to embarrass her husband, she danced in the streets for several days. And upon seeing her success, the success of her trick, the other women in town began to dance to annoy their husbands, too.
It was a revolt.
Powered on by
free. It was a protest.
Powered on by free, lewd, and impertinent thoughts. That is a quote. That's my favorite theory, that feminism was the reason that people were dancing for months.
I was going to say earlier that this was the original Burning Man.
Basically. Some good old bra burning energy here. You know, this dancing thing really ticks off my husband.
Well, I'm
going to do it for days.
It's like, I imagine it more in like the way that you you mess with Josh sometimes, like with things
please,
he doesn't like.
Please stop. I can't be stopped. I'm ill.
Oh no, I can't stop.
She just took the joke a little too far, you know.
And it killed people, but like, you know, the price of a good prank.
However, I can only imagine how rampant toxic masculinity was and misogyny was back, you know, back in 1518. And so I can only imagine these women were just like, you know what? We're fed up. We're going to do this, and we're going to do it hard. Deep dancing. So most of the artistic depictions of this from back in the day are of women being the inflicted. So most of the images show men carting away these like ugly drawn women. And I'm like, of course you had to draw them as like ugly women.
And
like,
actually that kind of lend some support to this theory, actually.
I know. I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
I like
a lot of history is colored by the views held by the people creating these arts or who had access to the resources to create these works that are now lasting from our histories. And we actually talked about this a lot in class. I really found fascinating was women in ancient comedies, because no women were writing the ancient comedies and their parts were being portrayed by men. So it's hard to tell like what parts of the ancient comedies are actually depicting these women like seriously versus in a satirical sense.
You're like,
like, is this reflective of what women thought at the actual time versus, you know, what men say that these women
seated
thought just
in there,
just to make fun of them, basically.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I really like that theory.
The thing is, I mean, if you think of it like a protest, it takes on a whole new light, you know?
They're just like, no, we won't be stopped.
Well, and I mean,
however, people are dying supposedly because of this.
Yeah, but people die in protest quite often, actually.
They took this dancing thing.
They were very serious about it. Maybe they're like,
we're so serious.
Well, maybe it started off as like a small annoyance and then it slowly grew to like,
wow, this actually means something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I like it. So,
like I said, a dance marathon.
So that's pretty much it. That's all I could find about it. I really liked that one last theory, though.
Oh my gosh.
I found it on a website and I went, I love that so
much. I love the way it was phrased.
Oh, yeah.
She found it bothered her husband.
Yes.
Because come on, who hasn't done something distinctly to annoy their significant other?
So what do you think?
I've basically been telling my thoughts through this entire thing.
Well, I mean, what do you think? Which theory do you think is the most plausible?
I'm not entirely sure. Mainly because even if it was like, you know, a protest, like mm-hmm. we suggested, the other isolated incidents, because it's not so much that, you know, word necessarily traveled back then either.
It's not the first one that happened.
Yeah.
Nor is it the last one that happened.
The stress one seems pretty interesting. I might even suggest it's stress combined with possible environmental factors, yeah. like, you know, fungi or something else yeah. going on. Because we can't really know what was in their food back then.
There's been more than one dancing plague.
Yeah.
Isn't that so strange?
It's wild.
It's happened. Well, and the thing is,
all of them don't necessarily need to have the same cause yeah. either, because there's...
And you don't know if they're dancing the same way.
Well, yeah.
You know? The funny thing is... Like I told you, for the descriptions I was given, it was flailing, twisting, yeah. and
yeah,
wiggling, basically. Just And so that's what they perceived as dancing, but who knows what it actually looked like, right. you know? Well, because dancing nowadays looks completely different from what it looked like back then.
Well, and if it was also mostly women, it was probably thought of as more of a hysteria kind of thing anyway, yeah. because, you know, women can't...
You're a hysterical woman, Ashlyn.
They're too emotional.
Oh, Google heard me. Why? Anywho, that's all I got for you. How long has this been? It's been like 10 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
It's been longer than... I'm kidding.
It's been a whole 30.
Yeah, but I'm going to cut a lot of that out because I stammered a lot.
Don't do whole 30.
But yeah, I like the idea of just ticking off men mm-hmm. dancing so much.
I think in some cases, it probably was a combination of the other two factors.
Uh-huh.
And in some cases, it might have seriously just been a protesting thing against
men.
Who
knows?
And I love it. I really do.
So, with that,
yeah,
I'll just tell you. You know what you could do if you like protesting against
rage against the machine.
If you like to rage against the machine, you can email us.
Join this witch rave. Witch rave.
It's hard to say, Ashley.
It really is.
Witch rave. There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Say that three times fast.
Because also these people, these women were likely, you know, also...
They're witches. They're yeah. dancing. Ah!
In another era, in another region, yeah. they would have been accused of
oh,
witchcraft.
Oh, absolutely. So if you want to join this witch rave, you can email us at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com.
Or you can also...
Wait, I also do Instagram.
Yeah, you do. I was panicking.
Or if you didn't get a chance to wish Ashlyn a happy birthday on Tuesday, last Tuesday.
I'm very old.
You can head over to our Instagram where we had a little Instagram post about it. And you can wish her a happy birthday there at Madder Than a Caterpillar.
55 never looks so good.
It was 50.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That came on. I put it on the story and I searched for the stickers, you
yeah.
know, and I searched happy birthday stickers and I just wanted one that said like happy birthday all cute, but then I scrolled down and found 50 never looked so good and I had to put it on there. It was too good.
I am old beyond my years.
I just couldn't help myself.
Or if you want to see some of the fun stuff Miranda's been tweeting, because I hear she's been having a blast this past week on our Twitter, you could find those at Madder Than a Cat. You could also send us a message there, you know, slide into our DMs, let us know what's
so
happening.
Weird whenever you say that.
It's really not.
We also have a Facebook page at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what, with a period instead of an ellipses.
Miranda's always
most
salty.
Most of our posts on Instagram also go there. So if you're not a big fan of Instagram, we put them on Facebook for you.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that we have a Facebook.
I know.
But we've also been doing some more stuff on TikTok if you want to check those mm-hmm. out, because mm-hmm. we think we're funny, at least.
Yeah, we think we're hilarious.
Yeah. and so you can find those at Madder Than a Caterpillar on TikTok as well.
Yes. Or I'm pretty sure you can find us under I'll Tell You What too, because that's our screen name. No, wait. That's our name on our profile, but it's at Madder Than a Caterpillar to do all that.
Other podcasts are named I'll Tell You What, just without the ellipses. So that's why all of our mm-hmm, stuff is mm-hmm. Madder Than a Caterpillar.
Well, most of them are like I'll Tell You What with so and so and so and so.
I know.
And we're I'll Tell You What with an ellipses, a spoopy podcast by Miranda.
So we're unique.
We're super unique.
Hashtag originals.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. I hated it as I was saying it.
So once again, we are changing our format a little bit, but hopefully we're bringing you better content. Yeah.
We're also working on building up several things.
Oh, and I'm sure somewhere sprinkled throughout this episode has been an ad.
That we created for ourselves.
That we created for ourselves. Listen to it. It's go back and listen to it. Find it wherever I put it. I don't know where I'm going to put it.
And if you want to support us, we support your support.
We would really appreciate it.
Yes.
We're poor and we'd love to.
We're probably going to be setting up a Patreon sometime soon.
We'll figure out some stuff to like gift people if they.
We've already got some stickers.
And yeah. We got some stickers, but we don't have a lot of cards. I'd have to buy more. and with that, I'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the feminists from 1518 who are throwing it back in your closet.
No!
And. And good night.
You
gave me the idea. I couldn't help but use it. It was necessary. Oh, no.